Welcome back to the Griffith Small Podcast. Today we will be exploring the important concept of freedom of information and taking a look at how these laws operate in practice. We are honoured this week to be joined by Rod Dunnan, who is in-house counsel for the federal government. As our special guest works at the federal level, our discussion today will be centred around the federal legislation, the Freedom of Information Act 1982. Welcome, Rod. Thank you for joining us today. Would you mind giving us some insight on what it is that you do?
Hi, Mia. I'm a senior lawyer in the federal government. I'm part of a team who provide in-house legal counsel for our agency, I guess. We specialise in administrative law, things like privacy, freedom of information, things like commercial law, for example, intellectual property contracts, public sector employment law, including industrial relations, dispute resolution, monetary claims, employee injury claims, amongst other things.
Oh, that sounds like a lot to wrap your head around.
Oh, it's actually a really interesting and challenging job. No 2 days are ever the same. It also helps, no doubt, by the fantastic team that we have to deal with all these great matters.
I can imagine. As the focus of today's podcast is the Freedom of Information Act, we might focus in on that aspect of your work, if that's okay. I think that many people don't actually understand the concept of what freedom of information is and why it is important or how it even works. Would you mind giving us a bit of a rundown on what FOI is?
Certainly. I guess the FOI Act gives applicants the right to access information held by government bodies on any range of things, from personal information to government policies or interactions between staff in developing a policy, for example, or between agencies where they are discussing, any range of topics, I guess. The FOI Act also can facilitate the right to apply for an amendment or an annotation to a record of personal information held. An example of that would be, if you realise that your date of birth has an error in it, you can ask for it to be either amended or have an annotation attached to your record. Of course, I guess this right to access information is not unfettered. There are a number of exceptions to an absolute right to access information. I guess they're covered under two types of exceptions in the Act. Mm-hmm. There's exempt documents and conditionally exempt documents. So an exempt document is more absolute. There are no other factors to consider for the FOI decision maker if it meets the requirements of the exemption provision. Examples of these exemptions are things like national security or defence or international relations, cabinet documents, law enforcement, protection of public safety, documents to which secrecy provisions of other government acts might apply, legal professional privilege, material that's been obtained in confidence, trade secrets, and commercially valuable information. Conditionally exempt documents are exemptions that the decision maker must take into account the public interest. That is release in the public interest or is it in the public interest for the information to be kept out of the public? Examples of conditional exemptions are Commonwealth-state relations, the deliberative process, which is just a crazy way of saying that's the process of discussing options on an issue in the development of new government policies, for example. Another one is called certain operations of agencies. For example, if someone was seeking the parameters of an agency's considerations about what they're going to rely on to determine at what point a benefit might kick in. That's not the sort of information, we think that one person should be able to get access to, or anybody, of course. Yeah. Another one is personal privacy. We have to consider, for example, the extent that the information is well known and if the person whose information it is known to be associated with the matter and therefore identifiable.
So if that information was mine, I wouldn't get a say in its release to other people?
Oh, that's a good point. Now, the Act also allows for the decision maker to consult with the individual enables us to see if that person's happy for, all, some or none of the information about them to be released to this third party.
Now, as you mentioned, FOI is based on the premise that all information is accessible and therefore the laws are needed to restrict that information that is available to the public. You know, why do you think that it is important that we have these laws limiting what information can be given when requested?
I guess if there was unfettered access to information, people's privacy, for example, would be non-existent. You know, someone could just ask for, you know, let's say your medical details or personal information relating to your household expenses. Mm-hmm. People could also take advantage of the system, like I just said previously, but also, you know, they might be able to, for example, develop their business to maximize grants if they had access to government information on what factors the government was considering implementing for a future initiative.
So you're saying that all the things we take for granted with respect to our privacy would theoretically just go out the window if we didn't have these laws in place?
Yes, that is exactly what I think could happen if there were no exemption provisions. Thinking about it, you know, it's really rather obvious that the government holds a considerable amount of information, not only personal but confidential information on each person with whom they interact. You know, not only do you have your name, date of birth, address, phone number, you know, there's also employment details, information on, you know, your income, your superannuation, amongst many other things. You know, I think I'm fairly confident that the majority of the population would, you know, not like to know that their personal information could be available to anyone who has the, you know, the interest to ask.
I know, I certainly wouldn't. And what about the government protections that you spoke about as well?
Well, there are a number of exemption provisions that are there to ensure the greater public have confidence that the people are not able to take advantage of government information released under FOI. You know, another example, other than the ones I've previously given, are, you know, if, for example, you're under investigation by the AFP, you know, you cannot FOI those records, you know, relating to that current investigation, you know, as that would undermine a current and ongoing investigation.
That makes sense. You know, now that you've explained to me just how important it is that we have these provisions in place, would you mind walking us through an application for FOI?
Yeah, certainly, Mia. I guess the FOI Act requires that an application be in writing, so that is the first step for an applicant, and it also must state that you are seeking documents under FOI. Mm-hmm. Government websites will, I think, you know, in the main, have an FOI application form available for you to access, either use online or download, which is there to help the applicant through the process. That form will step you through the required fields and prompt you for a free text where, you know, you can explain what you're seeking amongst other matters. It is important to note, I guess, that the FOI Act relates to documents in existence, so you can't seek information about anything that is not already in existence or for something that there is just no record of.
Yeah.
I guess it's also important to be very clear about what is being sought, noting relevant date ranges if that's appropriate. You know, for example, if you were seeking all your records going back to when you started work, you know, if, you know, you were in your 50s or 60s, you know, that could potentially be thousands of pages, which, you know, I think would definitely be grounds for potentially refusing the request as an unreasonable diversion of resources.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, the last thing I'd like to say there is it's, you know, vitally important to read the application form carefully and follow all the instructions.
Yeah, right. So let's assume that you have received a valid request for FOI. What steps do you then take to satisfy that request?
Right. Okay. I guess in our agency, you know, what we then do, having, you know, made sure that the request is actually a valid request in the first instance,
mm-hmm.
We then seek documents that have been requested from the relevant business area that has dealt with the matter.
Right.
So, you know, we then, once we've received those, you know, we review every document, firstly to check that they do satisfy the request. You know, it may be that the business area has not fully understood what has been requested, for example. So we might need to, you know, ask, you know, for a bit more information or a few more documents. Secondly, we're looking for any exemptions that need to be applied to the documents to satisfy the request. You know, this may be as simple as a word, a name, a sentence, you know, an entire page or an entire document that might need to be redacted. It may also be that we, you know, need to go back to the applicant to seek clarification on what they were requesting.
Right. Yeah.
And I guess then, having reviewed the documents and applied the redactions where necessary, we then draft a letter explaining why we have used the exemption provisions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a bit of a requirement of the FOI Act, and it's there to help the applicant to understand why certain information has been excluded and to give them also the opportunity to seek a review if they are dissatisfied with the outcome.
Yeah.
You know, and if they are seeking review, you know, if possible, it's best to explain why the documents provided don't satisfy the request. You know, for example, it may be that the applicant is aware of another document that has not been provided, or questions an exemption applied because, you know, again, as an example, I guess if legal privilege has been claimed on a document and the applicant may be aware that the content of that privileged document was discussed in a manner that may mean that the privilege has been lost.
Right, okay. I do know there are many critics of the FOI process out there who view it as time-consuming and dysfunctional. In your opinion, do you think that the process is user-friendly, or do you think that there's room for improvement?
Oh, there is always room for improvement. Nothing is ever perfect, that's for certain. You know, we do our best, and we're always trying to update and modify, you know, things like the forms and our processes internally to make them, you know, as efficient and as effective as possible.
Of course.
And, you know, unfortunately though, you know, the FOI is not a fast process. You know, depending on the size and the complexity and the number of business areas that might be involved, you know, it can potentially take us weeks to get the information together in the first instance. And that's, you know, before it can even be reviewed. You know, the FOI Act actually sets 30 days for provision of the documents, but there are a number of provisions that allow for an extension of this timeframe, such as I discussed earlier, which was, you know, a consultation with an individual whose information is included in documents sought by another person. You know, that adds 30 days to the timeframe straight up, you know.
Yeah, right.
So I guess while it can seem slow to someone on the outside, it is actually, you know, for the agency, quite often, you know, a substantial undertaking. I guess, you know, I've experienced a number of times where people are wanting documents to help them with, you know, for example, a court process or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the court process is next week and they think, oh, I'll get these documents, and they just
can't
yeah. because we can't find them in the time frame that, you know, they're seeking it for. So I guess, you know, the thing there is you need to think ahead if you're putting in a request for information as well.
Yeah, right. Do you think that this process is more limiting to, say, journalists or other organizations who are requesting information that's not actually related to themselves personally?
No, I don't think that's the case, Mia. I think the FOI Act is one set of rules for everyone. You know, the same exemption provisions apply to each request. You know, you may think that requesting information about yourself even is a very simple matter, but it may involve personal information about someone else. You know, so there may, by necessity, be exemptions applied to information you think is entirely about you. You know, so, you know, I guess taking it to where your question was, you know, generally journalists are seeking information that may have personal information or business information, etc., in it. You know, which will likely require redactions to be applied, you know, and in the situation where a journalist is seeking information about a government process, for example, once again, if that information discloses something about the internal mechanisms of the agency, it may need to be redacted, you know. Right. So I guess journalists seeking information under FOI are subject to the same restrictions as everyone else. Typically, you know, I guess they know exactly what they are after, you know, because they're, you know, obviously looking to report on a specific issue, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it may be that, you know, what they're actually after is exempt under the Act. You know, I guess, you know, it may also be an option for a journalist to approach the agency's media area, as they may be able to provide the information sought in a less official manner and may also be able to more directly respond to the media question, and also in a more timely manner than we can under the FOI Act.
Right. Thank you. I think that's a really great recommendation for any journalists listening today. But, you know, I do think an area of contention in the FOI space is the interaction between the right to information and privacy. You know, as I'm sure you're aware, there is an International Access to Information Day
mm-hmm.
that is designed to raise awareness of people's rights to access government-held information. Whereas on the other hand, there's also Privacy Awareness Week, which highlights the importance of protecting personal information. How do you find in practice that these laws interact with each other? Do you find that the application of the Privacy Act limits the application of the FOI Act in any way?
No, I think these two laws operate quite well with each other. You know, I think the intention of the FOI Act is to give applicants access to information held by governments, whereas the Privacy Act is there to protect you, the individual, from other people accessing information that's personal to you.
Right.
So I see both acts being of equal importance for different reasons. You know, I agree that it is important for agencies to be more transparent, However, when it comes to personal information about another person, you know, I, for one, am very glad that the Privacy Act protects my information held by government agencies.
Yeah, that's very true. Unfortunately, I do think that's all we have time for today. Thank you very much for joining us, Rod, and giving us some firsthand insight into the FOI Act and the way that it operates in practice. I know I certainly have gained a much better understanding from our short talk today. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Mia.